section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
SmackDown is moving, TNA may have a new home, and we discuss Jack Swagger. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So TNA may have a new home. What's the rumor on this, Aaron?
Yeah, so it's going to be on Velocity, which I'm a little confused because I thought that WWE canceled Velocity, didn't they?
Yeah, they canceled that a while ago. If you wanted to see greats like Jamie Noble and Brian Kendrick and... I'm drawing a blank on the other guy, Shannon Moore. You would see him on Velocity on Saturday nights.
Yeah. And apparently it's also a Discovery Channel. Of course, they own quite a few different types of channels. And one of them is called Velocity. And it's kind of funny because when we had talked about where they might end up, the furthest one from our minds was Discovery. I wouldn't expect them to be on a Discovery Channel, but Velocity is very much geared towards the guys in kind of the same way that Spike TV is. The difference is, though, that they have about 50 million less homes that they're in than Spike TV. Do you think that's something? Well, first of all, do you even think it would be a smart move for them to go there?
No, because the rumor is that they would actually get paid a quarter of the fees that they were getting before. So you're talking production value would go down dramatically. I don't think they're going to do the deal. I think they're going to, at least they have an offer out there. Worst case scenario, they have a home. But I think it's got some people a little weird. I saw that Velvet Sky actually changed. She took out the word TNA, which was a big deal because usually she always said something about her being a TNA wrestler, but now it's changed where she's just a wrestler or whatever. But yeah, the thing is, Velocity, the only time I actually watched it, they would have like a car thing. But if I'm correct, was that HDNet at one point?
It might have been. I'm not 100% positive, but I took a quick gander at it and there wasn't anything on that channel that I would watch. There wasn't. And so if TNA moves there from Spike TV, then yeah, I'll probably watch it just for that show. Who knows, maybe they'll actually market it. Maybe they might do a better job than what Spike TV is doing. But I think that you need to look at the bottom, not just the bottom line, but you need to look into the future. And in my opinion, if Velocity is going to actually promote your show, if they're going to give you as much money, then that might be a good move. But like you said, there's the rumors going around that they're only going to give them about a quarter of what they're currently getting on Spike. And that to me is saying, well, is that the smart move? So honestly, TNA may end up staying on Spike.
At least till the end of the year, they're definitely going to be on Spike. By the way, HDNet ended up becoming Access. And the reason why I brought up HDNet, because that's where Ring of Honor was for the longest time. And now they're... I think on every Sinclair broadcasting channel that's out there, they will air the show at some point. So anyways, I had to bring up something about Ring of Honor. Just got to. All right. So SmackDown is actually going to be moving back to Thursday. Now, when's this going to start, though?
Yeah, so it's going to start in October. And of course, they were on Thursdays for, ever since, 99, 2000 when they first started. And they were there for probably a good 4 years or so. And they had been bounced around. It was on, what was it? It was the CW or My Network TV or, your UPN.
That turned into CW. And then they went to My Network TV. And then they finally landed on Sci-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this was a long time coming. I believe that. A lot of wrestling fans, they have lives, surprisingly, so they're not going to sit and watch SmackDown from 7 to 9. Them being there on Thursday, that's a big deal because I tape some Thursday TV shows. But the thing is, with Impact not being there, that's nothing really changes. But still, I don't know if it's really going to help them, though, because you got to remember they have the NFL Network games and also the CBS football games as well that are going to be on that Thursday night. So I believe that it's a good move right now, but after 14 weeks, they have to deal with going head to head. Now, my only thing is, are they going to go live, though? That's my next question.
I don't think that they're going to go live. I think that that's not, it's cost prohibitive to do that. So I want to say this about it. So one of the things I found out about Thursday Night Football is that it's going to be on CBS for the first 8 weeks or so. And then after that, it's going to be on the NFL Network. So what that means is that for the first, 8 weeks or so, you're going to be going up against a prime time game. You're not going up against, it happens to be on the NFL Network, which isn't in every home. This is going up against CBS, it'd be like going up against Fox or, NBC if they had a football game on. Or, just like, Monday Night Football when it was on ABC. Anyway, belaboring the point. The big thing here is the ratings are probably going to be crap for this for the time when it's on network television. When it goes back to the NFL Network, I think it'll be okay. Honestly, I think TNA, I think for them that they kind of saw the writing on the wall when they saw that WWE might be moving to Thursday. And they said, that's not that big of a deal. But then when they were like, oh, we have the NFL Network and we have all those games we got to deal with, maybe we should move too. Maybe it might help us out. Obviously, didn't this past Wednesday? We'll find out the ratings probably, maybe Friday or so for TNA. But, I don't know. I think that it's probably a smart move for WWE to move there. But you got the NFL Network you got to deal with.
Did you like the thing how they ran on Wednesday from 7 Central Standard Time? They actually ran the Jeff Hardy DVD that would actually be mm-hmm. the lead into Impact, which I thought was really interesting. But, with SmackDown moving to Thursday, where are they going to put NXT and Superstars? Are they going to run that on Wednesday nights now? And the reason why I bring all this up is because you could load up your program Monday through Thursday. So you actually have the network doing something Monday through Thursday, which is, I think, the four best days to do it because you have Raw on Monday. You have Main Event and then Monday Night War and then also the Countdown. And then on Wednesday, you could then have NXT and Superstars run as well. And then you'll probably have a replay of Main Event. And then on Thursday, you have SmackDown. And then on Friday, you just basically have all the repeats for the week, which would be kind of cool. That's when I wish they would actually be able to play Raw and then SmackDown as well, like they do on what channel was that? Universal, I think they did that for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which was kind of neat, but one of those things. So, what are your thoughts on that?
Let me ask you this: Main Event and Superstars, what's the difference?
Actually, there really isn't much right now because Main Event actually is on Tuesdays. But like if you ran Superstars, if you had like NXT go at 8 o'clock, which would be head to head against Impact. And then at the second hour, you ran Superstars. There would be some people who would watch both. But, I think we've talked about this before. The fact that it's on demand, as in if you decide, hey, I don't want to watch because right now I'm backlogged a lot of stuff for the WWE things. But I know that I could sit down and like in 3 hours get caught up because like I haven't watched.
But here's my point, though. Main Event and Superstars, those are throwaway shows. And I don't even think the hardest core fans are even watching it because at the end of the day, all it is it's random superstars going against each other. And you can probably look at that match and say, I know immediately who's going to win 9 times out of 10. I mean, that's what it is. And SmackDown is very close to being that right now anyway. But those two, not important. So you were talking about NXT. And, I talked about, I think, last week's or the previous week's episode. I watch all that stuff on demand. I don't watch it when it's on. But there are some people who do. I know that you do sometimes. So what you could do is TNA is a little indie and a little mainstream. They're not quite Ring of Honor, but they're not quite WWE. They're somewhere in the middle. And NXT, I think, has a little bit of that feel as well. And so if you really want to try to get people to not watch TNA and have them watch NXT, then yeah, you'd have NXT on Wednesday nights. That's what I would do. If you're trying to divide the audience. If not, then just put it on Friday if you don't really care.
That is true. But the nice part is the way they have the channel set up right now is that, you'll probably a lot of people will watch stuff live. I haven't watched a lot of things live, maybe Legends House a couple of times. But realistically, When I watch NXT, usually it's a few days afterwards. Like I'll try and watch it the day that it comes out, but you're talking Saturday or Sunday when I'm like working in my office. I'll actually watch it at that time. But anyway, so I guess the whole thing with SmackDown moving, I think it is a big deal, but I think they're going to have issues like we talked about with CBS at first, but I believe that once that's over with, I believe that they're going to get some big ratings. Now, the other thing is, if they actually hit a Raw rating, I will be shocked about that. Just think, because then you're talking that, okay, if it did it and then the quality of the show went down 1 week and then the number went down, then they made the show better and the number went up, that would actually say something, and actually it'd make me kind of happy about the whole situation. But
I would be okay with it. The biggest problem is, though, that there isn't anything special on SmackDown. When it was a brand split and you had Raw and you had SmackDown, and when they really kept them separate, you had special storylines that you could only get on SmackDown that you couldn't get on Raw. The problem now is that SmackDown is a supplement to Raw, and it's for people who they don't like just getting a burger. They like burger and fries, you know, and SmackDown, they're the fries, you know, and honestly, I don't even want to say they're in the fries. They're like the salt on the fries. You know, I mean, it's not even like it's as important to watch. It's something that you can watch if you want to have a little bit extra context to something. There really isn't any big storylines that are being furthered. There's nothing important going on there that is not going to happen on Raw. And to be honest, if you watch Raw, they almost never play anything that happened on SmackDown. Almost never.
Yeah, that is true. So let's talk about WWE program for this week. So the whole thing with Jack Swagger and Bo Dallas, that there are a few that they're starting. Do you think it's smart to have Jack Swagger go from Rusev to feuding with Bo Dallas?
I don't think it is. For one major reason, and that's because Swagger's coming off of a loss. I think if Swagger was coming off of a win, then I think it would be a bigger deal, because, you know, you have Bo Dallas come out, and, you know, I understand why they're doing his little thing right now, because they're saying, oh, you let everybody down. But why not let him – why not let Swagger get one win, and then he gets a loss? So, you know, he loses 2-3, basically, and – then Bo Dallas could come out and do that. But I think right now it's almost like Swagger was demoted and Bo Dallas is going to be his guy that he gets to beat up to try to get, you know, back on top of things.
Yeah, I guess that would be the way. I guess that's the best way to explain it. But I don't know, something about bringing Bo Dallas, it's almost like if you bring him in, they're kind of giving up on him. I mean, why? You're almost better off having like someone like Zack Ryder come in just for him to beat up. I think the fans actually like to see Bo Dallas get beat up, so I guess it won't hurt him that much, especially if he just goes from that feud, goes right back into Rusev. That would be interesting. And speaking of that, also, every time that Swagger has actually wrestled Rusev, the last two, he hasn't tapped out. He actually tried to win, and he never gave up. The ref each time.
Yeah, but I mean, they're doing that to try to save face. I don't think that they should have done that. I think that you have somebody, you can let him lose cleanly once. He has not given up like four times now. Like, really? Like, who cares? Who cares?
All right. So it looks like Cesaro is going to take on Sheamus. And of course, Sheamus is the United States heavyweight champion right now. What are your thoughts on this? And also, what are your thoughts on the fact that Cesaro no longer does the UFO?
The UFO.
Sorry, I just watched the panel for the WWE 2K15, and a kid asked them that. He goes, "When you're your other persona," and I can't remember. Cesaro had something real quick right after that, but he said the reason why it's called the UFO is because it doesn't come around very much. And I was like, oh, jeez. But it's basically like the swing, but he puts him on basically like a reverse fireman's carry, and then he just twirls around in a circle, and then he'll actually bring his arms down at one point, spin around a circle, and then he'll just push the guy off and take a simple back bump. But it looks cool. But he hasn't brought it out yet. And I thought that was interesting that he actually asked that, because I believe Cesaro will do it to Sheamus. And I believe that Cesaro actually won.
So what do you think? Basically, you know, he took on RVD at the pre-show for the pay-per-view for some weird reason. RVD wins, and then they go at it again, and this time it's for the number one contendership. So I got to ask you, do you think that they're actually putting a little bit more faith in Cesaro now?
I think so. They called his jets, and I think it's because with him, I believe that he could actually have been something. And he had all the everything was going good for him. And then it's almost like WWE just put the brakes on and just like, nope, we're done. We're not going to push him anymore. But now it's almost like, okay, now he's back to a mid-card level, you know, not even an upper mid-card, just a straight mid-card. And I think he can run with it because here's one thing I realized, and I've said it before multiple times, and Roman Reigns is the best example. He has a look, period. Can he wrestle? Not really. He's okay.
He has three moves.
And you look at Hogan. How many moves did he have? Cena, at one point. Cena's actually a lot better now. I'll give Cena credit. Look at Bret Hart. Same thing. They have a simple moveset. Except Roman Reigns, his moveset doesn't make any sense. A spear and a Superman punch. Come on. That doesn't make sense.
And don't forget the basement drop kick.
Right. At least Bret Hart would do stuff where he'd work on the guy's back and he'd work on his legs. There was a point to it. Reigns just does a couple moves and that's it. Cesaro, when he does moves, he does it, you know, of course, the swing is one thing, but he'll actually work on the guy. And I think eventually fans will say, yeah, Roman Reigns has a look, but we want to see this guy, referring to Cesaro.
People like Reigns a lot, though. I'll be the first to say, yes, he has a tremendous look to him. He's not very good on the mic, though. But when people see him, they get very happy. The thing I'm a little worried about, because obviously the biggest rumor right now, and I don't know if it started with just, you know, the IWC or what, that Reigns will take on Lesnar at WrestleMania next year. And honestly, yeah, I know that they haven't pushed him that hard, you know, because they've been around for, you know, 2 years now. But I'm a little afraid that it's going to be almost like Ryback, where, you know, Ryback, basically they forced him down our throats. And yeah, it was a lot quicker. But I think that people might look at him and get sick of him pretty quickly because people were chanting, feed me more for Ryback. I mean, people were, you know, chanting for him. I mean, people were pretty happy when he came out, when he was a face. And I think that's the thing with Reigns is that they might do the same thing. The biggest problem is, though, guess what? If you cannot talk, if you can't get a crowd behind you, you know, it's going to be kind of like Chris Benoit was, you know, or the way that Daniel Bryan was. You know, the crowd wasn't as behind him as they could have been, you know, on the mic. They may like him and they may chant for him and be happy to see him. But that's the thing I'm a little worried about with Roman Reigns.
I couldn't agree more. But, you know, speaking of Reigns, he's taking on Seth Rollins right now. And do you think that this is the right move right now, especially with the pay-per-view coming up? Because it may look that they're going to fight each other.
It looks like they might. I think it is actually a good move because you had Dean Ambrose, and obviously he is injured, you know, put on the shelf. He escaped a hospital or whatever crap that they had come up with. And I think that it's probably a good move for the interim. And as soon as Ambrose comes back from filming the movie, you can have Ambrose be interjected back into that feud. You can do a tag team match, you know, you can do a lot of different things to keep that feud going. And I think that you need to have Ambrose get a win over Rollins to finish that. But on top of it, too, I think that Reigns, this is an opportunity here to actually have Reigns lose. If you really want Seth Rollins to be a massively over heel, have Rollins beat Reigns, you know, your pretty boy that's up and coming. And guess what? If you do that, and Rollins is going to get massive heat.
You know, you brought up Ambrose. Did you hear that when he's doing this movie, Lockdown? No, it has nothing to do with TNA, of course. He's actually, it's not going under Dean Ambrose. It's actually going by his real name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what it is. It's like Jonathan Good or
Jonathan
something.
Jonathan Good, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what that's what he's being billed as, which is very weird because usually they're billed as their persona, but it's going to be Jonathan Good. Kind of cool, but Ambrose, I believe, because of his the way he acts and his look, I wouldn't be surprised if Lockdown is a breakout success. As in, like, people watch it and they're like, wow, this is, he is a good actor. Because, like, when I watch Miz and stuff, I'm like, eh, it seems like it's a wrestling promo. Like, it, no matter what it is, even the Christmas Bounty movie, it just seemed like it was a complete wrestling promo. That's how he talked. But I believe that Ambrose can actually act.
I disagree with you.
Oh, come on.
And it's not because I don't think Ambrose is talented, but I think that when you look at somebody, and The Rock was somebody who transcended that. And he was able to, like, if you saw him in a normal interview, he has the charisma, he has the look, he is able to be an actor. And Ambrose, and I've seen him do a shoot interview, and, you know, he was talking about, like, growing up, you know, pretty much poor and everything. And he didn't come across as, like, the type of guy that you want to see on a movie. You know, he just seemed very nonchalant about everything. You know, like, he just didn't care. And I don't know if maybe it was just the environment, but he did not come across as somebody that I would want to see in a movie. And so Taken, you know, is, in my opinion, or Lockdown, I'm sorry, is just going to be another throwaway WWE movie.
That's the thing. I believe, like, if it's, you're talking about the one shoot interview that I can think of, he is still in character. He's done some stuff for the WWE where he's himself, and you could tell there's a big difference. So he's basically playing a character. If his character is anything like how he is, or like when he was Jon Moxley, or even Dean Ambrose, if it's anything like that, he's going to steal the show. And I'm actually looking forward to this. I'm also looking forward to Kane's See No Evil 2. I never saw I didn't see the first one, but people said it was pretty good. And
you want to see the Katie Vick storyline? Is what you're saying?
Yes, I want to see Katie Vick. Yes, of course. So anyways, so Cena is gonna take on Lesnar. And here's my thing: Cena is not gonna win. Lesnar, it's gonna be really weird because I have an idea for this that may work. I think Cena's gonna win. I think he's gonna beat Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
But I believe it's gonna be something where he beats the crap out of Lesnar so bad, and then the ref calls the match. Because I'm guessing it's gonna, you know, he'll get DQ'd. I shouldn't say that Brock Lesnar will still win. I believe that Cena will beat the crap out of him so much that he's done and he's very weak, and then you're gonna have Seth Rollins cash it in. 1, 2, 3, new world champion.
No.
That's what I think is gonna end up happening. Because,
no.
You know, here's why. Because if Lesnar's not going to be around, then why have him hold the title until WrestleMania? You know, you're talking,
because he's going to be at every pay-per-view.
That's 6 months out, though. He's not going to be at every pay-per-view unless they upped his salary. But that's six months.
Six appearances. But that's then all he's got to do.
When is Seth Rollins going to cash in?
He's got a year.
So Roman Reigns is going to get the title 1, 2, 3, and then Rollins is going to cash in and then beat Reigns.
I think that's a fantastic idea. In fact, I said it before on this show. I said I think that if you really want Rollins to get over as a heel and you want to really screw over Reigns, that's how you do it. Honestly, that is how you do it.
But I believe that would hurt Reigns by doing that. Yes, it would.
No, it wouldn't. Did it hurt Daniel Bryan to have Randy Orton win the title from
Daniel Bryan was different. That's the same scenario.
Bryan beat Cena. Bryan gets the title taken away from him, and then he has to basically build back up to win the title back. That's the exact same scenario.
I don't think you can do that with Roman Reigns. I think he has to have the title. He has to come out the following night, then after WrestleMania, with the title with the strap on him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only way to do it.
So back to what you said about Cena winning. I don't think Cena's going to win. He's battling a lot of nagging injuries. On top of it, too, I think that Lesnar has really given a big fight feel for the main events. And I think that Lesnar having the title, we're going to see it at Night of Champions, and we're going to see it at the subsequent pay-per-views following. Lesnar almost has a little bit of a Goldberg feel when he had the title, because Goldberg would come out, like when he took on DDP at Halloween Havoc. It was a big deal. It was a very big deal. And Lesnar's making it even bigger because he's not at every show, which means they have to elevate other titles and show why they're important. And so that's what they have to do now. Lesnar, he just shows up whenever. Hey, guess what? By the way, I have the title. I'm not going to be at Raw next week. I probably won't be there the following week either. I'll be there maybe the go-home show, and that's it.
Yeah, but you have to defend the title every 30 days. Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah. Remember when they did that for the U.S. title when Dean Ambrose had it?
Yeah, with the U.S. title where basically at any point you can give a 24-hour notice that you want to wrestle.
Yeah, you know that they don't do that anymore.
They should, though. Chris Jericho should come in and say, you know, move three, arm bar.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They don't do it anymore. And so that's the point, is that Lesnar is giving some legitimacy to the title that we have not seen in, I would say, a good 15 years.
Let's just agree to disagree because you're wrong. All right. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, or just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with their free site builder, and hands on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo, see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items at WWEshop.com and whatever Alex Riley says, do not use his promo code. So anyways, let's talk about Impact Wrestling this week. Tajiri returns.
I'm sorry, what was his name again?
Tajiri.
Does that what he said? Yeah. So he's back on TNA, probably because they're going to be over in Japan. You know, he is a made star there. He's somebody that the American audiences also are familiar with. It was kind of cool to see him, but he is definitely getting up there in age. So we'll see what they do for him at Bound for Glory.
I really hope he wrestles for the heavyweight championship. What do you think?
No, he won't.
Oh, darn. Anyway, so Lashley beats Tommy Dreamer in a street fight. Why did this happen?
You got to have Lashley fight. TNA is going a different approach. It's actually what you want, Andy, which is as opposed to have Lesnar, who defends the title once every 30 days, you have Lashley, who's really defending it every other week. What do you think? Do you like that idea?
Well, in real time, he's actually defending it every day for 3 days in a row.
That is true.
I prefer that. I don't like the fact when, if they just had some pre-taped interview of him saying something, and then the following week he says something, and then the go-home show, he's like, hey, by the way, I'm going to be here in San Diego, so better check me out at that time, and I'm going to say no words. Paul Heyman's going to be my mouthpiece, you know. And also, Paul Heyman wasn't even on the show.
Weird. I was a little surprised by that, but back to Lashley, though. Do you like him defending the title every other week?
Well, he is a fighting champion. That's definitely, and that's for sure. And I'm pretty sure he's going to lose it at Bound for Glory over in Japan, which is kind of sad. I wish he would actually hold it, you know, after that, and then have him lose on Impact, you know, when they go at Velocity, when they're forced to go there. Debut show. Hey, new heavyweight champion. It's going to be Robbie E.
Wow. Anyway. We had a Team 3D. They won the three-way title match. Great match. Pay-per-view quality. I think this is really what, you know, when we talk about TNA and our love and affinity for it, this is the type of match that we're talking about, because we get to see three of the best tag teams in the world go for the tag titles. And I mean, it's gold, you know, when you compare it to what we saw on Raw or SmackDown this week.
Yeah, I guess that's why I believe that NXT is such a better show, because I thought NXT this week was way better than either of the shows, but that's beside the point.
Well, and it's not just the wrestling, but it's also the storylines that they're telling. And I think that's the more important part, is that we're seeing better storylines. We're seeing better storytelling. We're seeing better wrestling. And that's something I love. I think WWE has probably the best pay-per-views, but after that, it goes TNA wrestling, probably NXT, and then Raw. You know, I mean, that's probably the order that I would stack rank them. But, you know, it is what it is. Andy, I wanted to quickly talk about something that came out last week, 2 weeks ago, which is WWE Supercard. Now, you had a chance to download this.
Okay, I downloaded it, and then you told me do not play it because you'd be addicted to it. So I have not touched it.
Yes.
And I talked to Doug because it was the night of our draft. I said, hey, have you played? He's like, oh, yeah. And then he started telling me what he's I can't remember what it was. Like, he was 21 and 1 or something like that. I was like, what?
So he was the Undertaker.
You what? Know,
he was the Undertaker, 21 and 1.
Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah.
So
I have never opened it. So
the gist of it is this, right? You have cards, which are wrestlers, and they have certain attributes to them. And then what happens is you go up against another person's set of cards. And so it's randomly chosen. So, for example, I have a set of cards, and let's say you happen to be able to go up against me. The computer will randomly choose the cards. And what happens is each match, there are three matches, and you have five cards to choose from. And each match, it says, this is going to be a match based on speed. So you want to pick the person who has the most speed. And then they go against each other, and whoever wins that. And it's the best 2 out of 3. And whoever wins then gets to pick 2 more cards. If you lose, you only get to pick 1. And it just keeps going and going. The matches take 10, 15 seconds at most. And then you get their cards. And then you have a catalog, and you can collect the cards. And if you use them, that's fine. It'll just show that at one point in time you had them. You can combine the cards. And they also have levels. So, for example, let's say you have a common Batista. You can train him to be, you know, have more stats. But there's common cards, there's uncommon, rare, super rare, and they just keep going as you play them. It is one of the most addicting games I have ever played. And I gotta say, I think that they did a fantastic job of this. And I mean,
oh my gosh, dude. I actually almost fell asleep. And it came on. Let me turn this down.
Yes,
thank you. That scared the crap out of me. Wow.
So, but it is a lot of fun. And they also have a King of the Ring, which is it's all done by computer. So you have your guy going, and it'll automatically choose your people. And you can go in and give them rest and, you know, try to re-energize them. And you just go through a King of the Ring. And it's a lot of fun. Like, I cannot stress enough how much fun this is. But the downside is, like I said, it's very addicting. And so you'll lose a lot of time into this. I am currently 603 and 100. So I've won 600 matches and lost 100.
Seriously?
So I've played 700 matches on this.
How often can you play matches?
As much as you want. And it's free. I think that's the other big thing, is that this does not cost a cent to play.
Okay. I thought they actually were going to have something where it was going to cost money.
So you can pay to get cards in this if you want to. But like most good games, if you don't, you can play, but it's going to take you a while. And so I think that's the biggest thing. The thing that always annoys me about these types of games is that there'll be the ones which say, well, if you actually want to get further, you're going to have to pay us money. This, it doesn't do that.
Well, that's good. Because that would stink. Yeah, I'm just going through it, so I just have to find rare cards. Have you got any rare cards in it?
Yes. So there it goes, common, uncommon, rare, super rare, ultra rare, you know, so on and so forth. And you're going to see some familiar faces. You know, you might run across a Mr. Perfect in there, or Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. But it's quite a bit of fun. So I recommend people play it, but only if you have the time.
You know what? I have David Otunga and AJ Lee now. Natalia. Ooh, a ladder for a +7 speed. This is interesting. I think I'm going to try this out later. So anyway, oh, I got nothing though. Nothing good. So anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.